Welcome to A Canadian Investing in the U.S., a podcast and YouTube channel focused on Canadians buying real estate with host Glenn Sutherland.
Welcome to a new episode of Canadian Investing in the U.S. with Glenn Sutherland. This week, my guest is Hirsch Cumberbatch. Hirsch, give everybody a bit of an intro to yourself.
Hey, how you doing? Pretty much just now an investor in the U.S. I live in Ontario, Durham region. Started off with properties in the Durham region. Currently, that was probably my first one after university or college.
Was it something you like lived in and you like rented out some rooms, or how did that go?
Honestly, so I went to school at Durham College. Yeah. And fell into some money. So I fell into like $15,000. $15,000. And I had a buddy that was in college right now last year. And I went, hey, you want to just split on a house? Let's just buy a house. It was either buy a car or some rims or, you know, some speakers. Yeah. Or so I was like 21 or something. And then we both agreed. We just went, hey man, let's get a deposit on a house. I didn't even have to use all 15. I only used like six thousand, and then he put 6,000, and that was our deposit on a house. And it was actually a single family, 4-bedroom, walkout basement. And yeah, I still actually own it. So me and him, we lived there. So it was a bachelor pad for a few years. And maybe after like 3 years, the market went crazy. I bought him out. So he actually bought another place just up the street.
Yeah.
And then I kept that one, stayed there for a bit, rented out rooms. Actually, while I was there, me and him, while we were there, we rented out rooms. So we had a 4-bedroom. It was only both of us that needed one room each.
Yeah.
No kids at the time. So basically it was 2 bedrooms free. So we just, anybody who wanted a room, any of our buddies that wanted a room, we just rented it out. It was a bachelor pad. And it's a brand new house. So like even the builders and everybody, like we just had to make sure we told them, yeah, we're having a party. We're having a party this month. We're having a party this next month. We're doing New Year's. You know, we were just having a whole bunch of fun. But yeah, in the end, like we bought a house instead of buying toys, right? So it was a great investment. So from then, we parted our ways, like I said. I kept the property. At that point, you know, just started getting older and stuff, you know, a bit more responsible. So we had that property. And then from there, I didn't even pay attention to the market or anything, like to see after I sold it. And the value of the property went from the 200s up to...
Oh, you sold that property that you...
No. I still have it. But the value of it, like I saw...
Oh, after you bought it, you mean?
Yeah. So then... equity started messing around.
You bought him out. Sorry. Do you have to just pay him the $6,000 or was it based on?
No. We bought it. We gave him the amount based on the property's value. Like we're cool buddies. We're still to this day. Right.
Yeah.
So we did the property appraisal, got everything all done proper, got lawyers. And then I paid him out the actual value that he made out of it. Right. So even then, like the next year, the market just went boom, crazy again. So it was just like within the last like 20 years, right? Everybody just property's gone sky high. So that one there's pretty much been my cash cow.
Yeah.
I didn't get too greedy, but I did take some funds out and got into another property. And then that one we just rented it. Oh, I rented it out. And it's been a rental since. And that's the only one I'm keeping in Canada. I've been looking at getting other ones.
The transition. So you did when you did. I don't know if you did a loan on the property or a cash out refi or whichever way you went. So did you use that money for something personal or use that for your next investment?
Well, bought a car, obviously, and then just used it to get more property. So I have my personal residence now. So I use that funds to get a personal residence with my wife, and pretty much we you've been just bouncing house to house and value has been going up. So yeah. Got in at the right time in the market.
Yeah.
Everybody thought I was crazy. Me and my friend, you know, two guys buying a house together, you know, never going to work. But no, it worked. It worked. And it was pretty much, I met him in school. So it wasn't even that long time friend, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, but that worked out. And then from there, just kept on looking at the Canadian market, joining real estate groups. Just did everything to see what I can do in Canada. And just owning my own property and having renters and everything, I was just like, but the rules are just too crazy. It's just... the landlord-tenant board. Like, I'm pretty good with the landlord-tenant board because I haven't had to deal with them. But I keep it straight up with all my tenants. Like, I'm checking everything. And
it's good.
Like, well, no games. Like, let's just get this thing going, right? But I've been lucky. In the last, what, say, 10 years or so, I've had probably three tenants. Only three. So.
That's good.
Yeah, been pretty good. So other than that, everything's been pretty smooth.
So then, how does this transition to the U.S.? How do you?
All right. So this is the secret here. My in all this time, I've also been a U.S. citizen, so I have dual citizenship. But as a young lad, you know, 16 years old, I had it since 16. My mom's lived in Florida since that time, since high school, and pretty much I didn't really care about it. And then eventually, you know, I start seeing things online and, you know, stuff like from you,
yeah,
seeing other groups. Actually met you at a Durham REI meeting.
Yeah,
right. So yeah. Did something there and I'm like, wait a second, what the heck am I doing? Like, I have access to the U.S. What am I doing here? Like, why am I thinking so hard, right?
Yeah.
And then I just pretty much went, hey, let's get this Social Security working. Yeah. Right? So.
Did you have, like, a credit score? Or do you have to build that up again? Like, some people.
Well, the good thing is that my mom, my late mom, she actually passed away. I'll talk about that after. But she actually had set me up on all of her credit cards as a secondary user. So I never, well, I had one when I was in high school, but I've always been a secondary user on her cards. And so that anything
else too?
Builds my credit. So while she was using them, paying them off and everything, my credit was getting better. So I had like premium credit. As soon as I jumped into this U.S. thing, my credit was just insane. So thanks to her for that one. She was quick thinking on that one. So that was that helped
huge,
a lot,
right? For investing in the United States, it could mean that you get an interest rate, at least from my past, usually about 0.5% cheaper than what a Canadian would get.
Yep.
You get a usually 5% higher leverage if you're interested in it. You have the option to take it. And that's not doing like point buy downs or anything else. Like just as an American, they get better rates in American soil. And same thing.
That definitely.
If American,
so I did the, up I here, did the same. I did the same. I did the test run with you, obviously.
Yeah.
So after we did we met up. You know, we had a little talk and everything. We partnered up, and that was a test run to see how everything can go. So when we went through all of your people that you went through, he saw that I was like pretty much set there. So it went pretty smoothly. So
maybe we'll talk about the projects we did a little bit first, and then we'll
definitely
stuff you're doing for you now.
Definitely. So what do we start off with? We start off in Ohio, obviously.
First, I think, right?
Was that the fourplex?
I think the fourplex was first. And so from my perspective, maybe I'll start on this. From my perspective, there is quite a few people who are interested in doing joint ventures. And when you have someone with a Social Security number and you get along with them, which is a huge, it's actually more, it's a bigger deal than you ever think, because you know, if you're going to, you know, kind of get married to these people, like you're going to be into a property that you're going to hold for a while. You need to, you know, like them at least a little bit.
Yeah, patience.
Life is going to be hell.
And you got to have patience, right? It's not something that's just automatically going to boom, boom, just everything goes smoothly. I definitely could see that. And I know I just from the history of like stories of what we talked about. It can be stressful sometimes, right? Like a house burning down or something, or somebody's trashing your house, or you know, some floods, or just anything.
I have enough properties. That's always something.
Exactly. So like we've had our issues, right? With some of the properties, like just nothing crazy, nothing.
Maybe, no.
But there's certain things that certain people probably go crazy about, right? Like they can't handle the stress. So if I was you, if anybody's trying to do partnering, you got to make sure you're on the same level as that person. I'm pretty relaxed. I don't go crazy. I see the future, right? So it's not it's not something. But we started off with that fourplex, and that fourplex was like pretty much. It was up and down on that one.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I just wanted to let you know that I've created a new coaching program. I believe the new coaching program has way more value than any of the programs that have even existed in the past. What we've done is pre-recorded all the lessons so that you can work through it at your own pace, which is pretty cool. And then we're going to meet up on a regular basis to answer the questions, do deal analysis, and actually spend our time together working on things instead of spending our time learning things. I think this will make a seamless transition to buying in the United States and will help you solve a lot of your problems. If this is of interest to you, go to glennsutherland.com/coaching. I hope to help you guys invest in the United States, and I hope we provide as much value as possible. Back to the podcast. It was up and down. We had some... You know, vacancy. We had. What else do we have with that one? I think that was mostly it. The problem was that we weren't in the best neighborhood, so that we were, you know, what we were attracting a lot of times was like people who just got divorced, or because it wasn't a really big apartment. I think they're like 700 square feet each unit, purpose built fourplex, and so they'd stay for a year tops. And then we were just constantly turning these proper the units over, right?
Exactly. We had four of them, so it kind of was okay. Like we weren't in like the super hole or anything, but it
they cash flowed, but they were it was a lot of extra stress because four units, and if you have a vacancy happening at least every year, sometimes they were shorter. That it feels like you're constantly have three out of four full.
Exactly.
Like constantly like that.
We tried different things, like different programs and stuff, trying to get it filled, and you know, we just kept in communication with that. So I was, you know, just keep in touch, right? Keep in communication, and you know, have the regular checkups, you know, and it's that's the way life is, man. That's the way life is.
It worked out in the end. So
we
ended up getting I got a notice from the tax assessor that they were going to, I don't remember the exact numbers, but almost double our property taxes.
They saw that it was better than what it was before, and they got us.
Yeah, they saw that it's been improved. They saw that it was painted. They saw that, you know, all this stuff. So they almost, it was a substantial jump. And, you know, we were cash flowing, but it was just one of those things where we could use
had to make the decision
things with, right?
They had to make this decision. They got ridiculous with that one. That was, but we made out.
So I saw the writing on the wall, and I had the conversation with her that I'm like, you know what, if we're going to add another like $1,000, you know, take it out of our cash flow essentially, right? Because the rents are going up like minimally every year, and for the having an extra $1,000 and taxes is, you know, it's just going to cut into our profit. And, you know, I like to make money.
Exactly.
And, you know, it just keeps slimming it down. So we sold it. I don't know. I remember the exact numbers. I think like 40,000 more than we bought it for, something like that.
I think it was 40. Yeah. And we didn't do anything really. It was just
we didn't do any renovation to it. And so then we sold it for 40 more. We didn't have to pay a realtor. I think we did it off market. Privately off market. And
that was American style, obviously, that didn't go, you know, dealing with this, closing properties in the U.S. Oh, my goodness. But, It did go smoothly. Well, eventually.
But, yeah, I think some of these closings, like maybe we should talk about that. Like some of these closings, they, you know, in Canada, when you say, hey, the closing is, you know, January 1st, it closes on January 1st in Canada.
Yep. In, you got fear if you don't close it.
Or maybe January 2nd because it's usually a holiday. But
yeah, yeah.
In the U.S., it's kind of a guideline. And you, if the lender isn't ready, it just gets pushed. If, you know, I've had properties where, you know, somebody goes and buys a car that week and it screws up their credit for closing. And that makes things get pushed and they have to redo the whole loan docs. Anyway, yeah. It's a tentative closing date.
Tentative. Always tentative. It's insane. I don't know how they run like that, but it's the U.S. It's not the same as what we're used to. It's definitely
a little more chill.
It goes through. And most of the time, well, we never had anything fail. So it may be like an extra week to a month, but it's going to close. It's just, you got to keep your blood pressure low. All these excuses. It's crazy.
In the meantime, during buying that property, the fourplex, we bought another property in the meantime, right? And
so yes,
we bought that one, and it was an interesting situation. I believe that this is the one. I have so many properties in my head, but I believe that there was originally how it came to me is my property manager was the property manager for that property. Mm-hmm. And basically someone started to reno it and they didn't have title to the property yet, but they were renoing before they had title, which is a no-no. And then basically their whole closing got screwed up and basically everybody lawyered up and was going to sue everybody. And the property manager came to me and he said, Glenn, can you come up with a solution to this? And, you know, with all of this, if you're a problem solver and put all the pieces together, I'm like, you call the one side, what's your issue? Where are you at? Call the other side, where's your issue? Where are you at? And then they're like, basically like, well, he owes us $2,000. You're like, there's something small, right? They're suing each other over the smallest thing. And you're just like, okay, so I'll take the property. I'll buy it off of you based on last year's rate, what you had it under contract for before you started the renovation. I'll line up the contractor to do a light renovation, pay you the $2,000 that you're owed, and basically just worked it through and made sure everybody was happy and the number worked for us. Mm-hmm. And then we brought a private lender in too, right? So on top of this, we took a private lender in on the property, basically stacked a bunch of different ideas together to make it all work.
Yeah, you did some crunching. Like, that was some creative. Like when we talked about that one, I was like, what the heck? And then we're just talking, and you're just like, oh, we can do this. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you're the perfect person to be around, because half of those ideas I wouldn't have even thought of that. But it works because, we've got private lender.
Yep.
We did, both parties were set. No complaints.
Yep.
We just took it over. We just had to do like a minor finish up.
Just finish up some stuff and some siding that looked bad. And
siding,
Siding. Just the front of the siding, like not even the whole building. Mm-hmm.
Stuff. Yeah.
But anyway, we did that. We put a private loan on it. So neither of us came up with any money through the project. And for people who are listening to this and going, well, that sounds like, why would you even bring Hirsch in? Like, honestly, like that, I don't know if you're a creative guy, you might be thinking that. But the thing is, you know, as Hirsch and I do more projects, what we can do now is we can refinance it. And so one of the key elements to this is this property is below the threshold of the typical 115. So as a Canadian investor, typically $115,000, if you have less than that, you're going to be below I think it's 118 or whatever the number is. It's right in that ballpark. Mm-hmm. That you're not going to be able to qualify for a DSCR loan, right? Because it's too cheap. Right.
Yes.
So you either have to, as a Canadian, bundle that with another property, or in our case, you bring in an American or someone with a social security number, because they don't have the same requirements on a DSCR loan. So people are going, why did you bring in Hirsch? So what we're doing right now, we still haven't done the refinance. I honestly want to wait until the Fed drops their rates. But we'll do the refinance and probably take out the private money lender. But as time's gone on, the private money lender, it's pretty slick too. Like, we usually keep a good amount sitting in our bank account.
Mm-hmm.
They always get their payments. They're perfectly happy to be the private money lender. I think we're paying them 10%. And
yes,
yeah, they just cash the checks every month, and they know it's going to clear because we keep a balance in the account. We don't empty it out every month, right? So
exactly.
I think it's a good win-win, but and it gives us opportunities.
It was definitely a win-win, and I learned a lot of things too, like because I'm part of the whole course, right? Like I did the course and everything with you, so
yeah,
all these things that you're talking about, like we spoke in the course, and it was like a great tool for what I'm doing now. And through that time, like I seen how you dealt with that issue. Having the Social Security definitely is an asset, but just creativity, like that one was the most creative method of anything I've seen before. And what that worked out, everybody was happy. And yeah, we're just sitting on that one. We don't even need to do the refinance yet. We're just waiting. But it's just something we just have, right?
And you just mentioned the Social Security number. So I went and got my E2 visa in the end of 2023.
Yes.
So I just have to go to the U.S. next, go and stand in line at a Social Security office and get my SSN as well now, too.
I'm
trying to figure out if I can transfer the my credit score on my iTunes because it's phenomenal. Because I have phones and the report and a lot of credit cards that report to it, and I always make my payments. But I think I have to start over with my
I think so. You start off, they're not going to give you anything.
No.
start off like a regular old folks. But,
so anyway, after this, you're doing some other stuff. What have you been working on now, too?
So we've been doing this for like 4 years, almost four years.
Yeah.
So, in that time, while we were doing, I was doing the course and everything, I was telling my brother and my mom, who actually live in Florida, like what I'm doing and like what's going on. I was showing them how it works. My brother is, he's not fun of doing all this real estate stuff. I'm trying to show him that how good it is.
Yeah.
But my mom, she actually caught on and she was like, oh yeah, I want to do it. But she's a different type of investor. She's one where she acted first and thought about it later.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like she just went crazy with it. So in the last maybe like 2 years, she was just getting land and getting properties, not even rented, just abandoned. Like they needed all rentals and everything done.
Was she buying them locally, like where she lives in Florida?
She bought one in Florida. She bought a couple in Florida. And then she also got one in Louisiana. Don't ask about that one. That one just came out of nowhere. So like I said, anybody just came with something to her or maybe an email or something. She went, oh yeah, okay, yeah, let me do it.
Yeah.
While she was doing this though, she kept it a secret. From me, because she knew that I'm one of the person that will assess everything, right? I'm trying to check the markets, check everything.
Yeah.
But she's more of, some people are like that. They just jump on things and think about it later, right?
But you know what? There is an element to that. If I didn't have that in my, you know, jump first sort of thing, I never would have bought in the U.S. I would have waited until I figured it out. I bought with
my
credit, figured it out later.
Analysis paralysis.
Yeah, exactly.
She skipped that.
I love that. Like, you know, to a extent, right?
Yeah, no, she was wild. She was wild. So basically what happened is beginning of 2023, she was diagnosed with cancer randomly. So 2023, the beginning of the year, she got cancer. Within 3 months or so, she passed away.
Like, that's so fast.
Yeah, it was crazy. So nobody knew anything. She just found out and it just went downhill from there, right? But when everything was closed off and everything, well, actually on her deathbed, she told me, she's like, I got something to tell you. So I'm like, oh Lord, what am I going to hear? She's like, I have about 6 properties that I never told you about. And they're all in like dismal, like they're in horrible shape. I got a guy working on it. He's been working on it for like the last year. One guy, she just sped up. She can't deal with him. He's like, Herschel, I need you to just handle him, sick him, get on it, and just do what you can while I pass away. So she basically set it all up. She told me. It was sad. I was mad. You know, everything was all in one. But I told her, yeah, don't worry. I'll take care of it because I have the training. So basically, so in Florida, there's an area called Lewiston, Florida. And that's actually where all the sugar comes from. And pretty much, I think it's most of the southern states, like they provide sugar for everybody, rebag it. Like it's only sugar. So it's like, you know, town of GM way back in the days when it was just GM, Oshawa's GM.
Yeah.
Nobody else did anything but GM.
Yeah.
That's that town, Lewiston. So when she passed away, I got all the addresses, did everything, went up to this town. This town is pretty much farms. To us, it seems like it's just, they're way, way, it's a cottage town, it seems like. That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
They also got the Lake Okeechobee.
Okay, yeah.
That lake is supposedly like the second largest lake in the Americas. So that's where they do a lot of fishing tournaments and everything.
Yeah.
So it does have some type of industry. There's fishing, there's hunting. They do a whole bunch of stuff. But in the end, I found out she had two trailers, one house that had two properties on it, two pieces of parcel. So that was there. She had about six pieces of land. Like there are probably, she probably paid like $9,000 at that time when she got it, right?
Yeah.
Six pieces of land. It's a lot of trailers and stuff. Like people, it's normal trailer life over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we got a proper house. She got a house probably in 2020, 21 or so.
Yep.
Never rented it. So both units, I had two units. That was the main thing because I saw the two pieces of properties on there. One is a separate unit with a one bedroom, one bath type setup, like a converted garage that was done before or something, or a shed.
Yep.
And it's pretty big. It's pretty big the way they did it. All concrete, everything's all good. And then the main house is a five bedroom house, two story house in Florida.
Yeah.
They don't have two stories over there often.
No.
So two stories. Three bathroom, full bathrooms, but it was built like in the hundreds, like in 1900s.
Yeah.
So that one there, I found out who was working with her. Like, I remember we did training, like we had to get contractors. That's the first thing, right? To hire a contract. She had a contractor that she had that was from Florida, I guess family friend or something, buddy over there. This guy has been working on the one house for probably a year, year and a half.
That's way too long.
Yeah. And my mom was paying him like monthly.
Like as a salary rather than
like as a salary.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So I went and checked all the paperwork, like what she's been sending this guy. She was sending him more pay than I didn't want to talk about that, but. She was paying this guy, and in my head, he's obviously just milking it.
Right? Yeah, he doesn't want to finish.
He wasn't there every day. Like, there's an alarm system and everything. Like, he wasn't there. I just didn't want to argue with him. I just went, you know what? Just, you're fired. you're fired. That's it, right? I said, you're done. So then after that, I went into, I had to go to that area. So that's about an hour away from where my mom's house was. So I went into that area. I went to a real estate firm or what realtor.
Yeah, networking really. Event or like, oh, just like two of like.
No, just, I didn't know anybody there. I didn't know nothing. So I just went into the local realtor.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I got a few rental properties. I got two trailers and I got a house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need somebody. First of all, I need a property manager. And also, I need to get a contractor just to do regular fixes and everything. They actually were helpful because I told them that I'll use them as a property manager. But
yeah,
they gave me some local guys that could do handyman stuff, get everything all good. And within 3 months, I got that property up and running. 3 months. This guy...
Years.
3 months and probably less than 10 grand.
Yeah.
Right? got the house property painted, floors fixed. You know, there's a lot of, it's like a raised house, so the flooring was kind of a little lopsided there. We got that fixed up. Got the lighting, paint. I kind of probably did too much because now the house looks like a Canadian house. Like it's a bit too much work. Like every time somebody walks in there, they're just like, what the heck? This house is like insane. Stainless steel, everything, you know, like it's, the prices were just negligible, right?
$10,000, yeah, just to make
exactly.
It was awesome.
Exactly. So I got both of the units all done. Now they're fully rented. I'm still dealing with, you know, property management and getting the, because before you dealt with that stuff, right?
Like, yeah, yeah,
property
yeah.
Manager. But now I'm dealing with like trying to get the bills paid. I got to friggin' get hand stuff to the property manager every month. I'm still having to do some work, but at least I don't have to talk to the tenants.
Is there mortgages on these properties?
Yeah, there's a mortgage on one,
okay,
which is kind of weird because like when my mom passed away, I thought that I'll have to re-qualify for it. They just went, no, you just keep going. And we'll just change over today. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, okay. Yeah. All right. So now the mortgage is pretty much in my name. I don't know how they did it, but I'm responsible for it now. Right? But I didn't have to qualify for it.
That's good.
Which is weird. Yeah. The trailers
it's
are
kind of like doing a subject to inside your family.
Exactly. But it's a legal subject to.
Yeah.
It's like it's you telling the bank, that's what I want to do. And they're allowing you to do it. So yeah. That was a winner. She has only like 3% interest on it. So that was perfect.
Ooh, nice.
So I was like, oh, awesome. And they let me keep the rate and everything. And then the trailers, they were just paid off. Trailers are not that much money, but they're less than 100 with the land, right?
Yeah. Still,
they're not old.
You can rent those out, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. They're all rented. Yeah. So within...
So what's rent on like a trailer in Florida?
Trailer over there is only about $1,200.
That's still good. Like what did you? You said the trailers are $100,000. Is that including the land?
Well, that the trailer's used, so I think she probably got it for like maybe 50 or 60.
Yeah,
brand new is $100,000.
Okay,
brand new. Yeah. These are not brand new. So,
just for people who are trying to figure out these kind of numbers, like
yeah.
Trailers, what do you think they're in for?
Sorry.
But like, what would you cost for like to buy that, like land and trailers?
A brand new one,
like even what you have, like what you.
So ours was used, and then the market obviously wasn't crazy at that point, right? But you're buying them sub like maybe $80,000 with the land, so a quarter acre, and then
you can rent it for, you said, what, 12 or 14?
Yeah, $1,200. $1,200. I do have one that she has that was a Section 8. That's a Section 8 one. So that one's actually one that's $1,200.
Yeah.
The other one, she had it set up like an Airbnb. Never did the Airbnb as much as I think she did a few times, but she didn't do it constantly, right? She wasn't on top of it. She was a busy woman, so she was always working. The property was fully furnished. Everything, like I said, it was fully furnished. Everything looked beautiful. So now that property, we actually rented out to as furnished. Construction crew, because remember I told you that area is the sugar factory, so a lot of people, a lot of companies come in from outside of the state, and they work either with the sugar or they're doing infrastructure stuff around the sugar or the city or town or everything. They always bring people out from outside of town, always in that area. So they all either they're all in hotels or they rent out properties. So there's zero rentals there.
Yeah.
So once you put something on there, it's either the locals get it or contractors get it. Most times the contractors are getting it because they'll pay top dollar. So I have that one trailer, like I said, that's Section 8.
Yeah.
But the other one, that the Airbnb looking one, that one there is, I cancel that Airbnb thing. I'm not doing that. That's done. I tried to resume it. That didn't work out. But so cancel that out. Those guys are giving me $2,500.
That's awesome.
$2,500. And I cover, what do I cover? I cover only the satellite, TV, and internet. They pay for utilities. They do, everything's all in their name. And that one, Airbnb. So one, that one's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. The other one, the house, they also have another contractor in that one. Because that one's, we turned it into a 5-bedroom. And now they have a crew in there and they're paying $2,500 also. And then my one bedroom that I have, which is on that same property, that one there, we're getting about $1,100. And that's a 1-1.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So now it's like everything just went boom, boom, boom. Everything, I'm managing everything from Canada. Pretty much what I'm doing right
now. Manager, right? So you're managing the manager?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly what you're doing at the beginning. Exactly. So I'm looking at, I remember how you're doing, you're working your full time and doing the management.
Yeah.
I'm juggling everything. So like I'll be in the middle of work and I get a phone call. I'm like, please hold. Give me a second here. Exactly. I know you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right? I know exactly
what you're juggling. Oh man. So I'm jumping on that one. I didn't even tell you guys about the Louisiana one.
I wasn't sure if you were going to talk about it or not.
Oh, so that Louisiana one, also abandoned or not rented. Like, it wasn't bad, like falling apart or anything. It just wasn't rented. It was just, that one there didn't have a mortgage on it. She bought it for 10 or 12,000. Like, it was run down, but she did.
What part of Louisiana? Like,
New Orleans, it's north of some big lake. I've been there. I drive there, but I don't know what the lake's name. But when you look at a map of New Orleans or Louisiana, you see New Orleans and there's a lake above it. You drive across the lake and about 45 minutes. Covington area and Bogalusa around there. That's what it's called.
I wonder if area, down in New Orleans, I went airboating. I think I might have been on that lake.
Listen, that lake is huge. Like, you're driving across it on a bridge. It's like a 20, 30 minute drive. You drive across a bridge. Yes. I understand. Honestly, I've been there probably like four times over the year, and I didn't get to experience the fun. Like, I see people coming in and out, but I just airport right to the properties, do what I got to do, get the hell out.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stay there one day because I want to try eating some alligator and some swamp food and all that crazy stuff.
Did you have to do a reno to rent, be able to rent that one out?
That one there, reno was minor. Like, the property was okay. Like, everything was set up. This is the funny part, because that property is actually also two units. So one, a 3-1, there's only one bedroom and bathroom there. So the front house, and it's on like stilts. So like, I guess, Louisiana floods, right?
It's probably good that it's stilts.
So it's high up, elevated. So we had to like just do just some touch up stuff, like a few grand. The other unit, which is like, that was another garage. I don't know what the heck they did, but it was a separate unit. I don't know if my mom did it or somebody else did it, but they had like a separate water meter already set up. They had the separate electrical setup, but the city never recognized it as a two unit. These places in Florida and Louisiana, actually America, is just weird. So the property was a duplex, classified as a duplex or two units on one land, but the taxes and everything, they said no, it's just one address, right?
Yeah.
So that was one hurdle I had to do. So after the rentals and everything, I got everything. I told them, like, yeah, there's two meters there. There's two water bills. I'm getting two electricity bills. They're like, no, we can't zone this as being a dual property. This is over the phone, me talking.
Yeah, yeah.
So once I went in there, these small town, this place probably only has probably like 10,000 people in the town.
Yeah.
So I went there. I walked into their permit office. I told this guy, I'm like, how do I get it so that it's zoned properly so like I don't get in trouble with anything, right? I'm like, there's already 2 meters. I don't know how it happened, but there's 2 meters there and there's two electrical, two water.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, so that's done? Just wait here. Smoking a cigarette in store inside this building, obviously. he's like, I'm going to do this for you. I'll set it up. Don't worry. So for the next like couple of weeks, I see emails bouncing around between all the different groups, the departments. This guy, I don't know what he did, but I just got a tax bill and it's two separate units now. Taxes separate, everything's all set up properly. those small towns are like the greatest because you can just walk in there and you talk to them like buddies, yep. And they'll take care of you. Like they break rules or whatever they got to do. Nobody inspected anything. Nobody checked the properties. Nothing at all. It was crazy. I'm like, is there anything I'm supposed to sign or anything? Like, nope. No, I got it, man. Don't worry. I got it, buddy. I got it. You know? So that property is legit now. Thank goodness. We put about 10 grand into the small unit, getting that, you know, painted. It's a one bedroom, one bath, same type of situation.
Yeah.
That rented. No, that one actually is not rented out yet.
Yeah.
Louisiana is a bit slower than Florida. So
it also it depends on the time of year too, right?
That too. Yeah. It's a small town and they have no type of industry there. I don't know what my mom was doing, but I took care of it. It's rented now. I think that one there, the main house, we're getting like 1100, but the small unit, the one, I think can only get probably like 750, maybe 650, 700, but I bought the house as one. Yeah. So I'm getting both. it's a win-win here, right? But, that one, I got a property manager. That one there, I kind of broke the rules. I just went online and tried to find a property manager. Nobody's
sometimes
in that
you gotta
area.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah. So I got a property manager online. He's been all right. Like he fixes everything and he's, I don't have to talk to him. Mm-hmm. Just got to watch with like the deposits. They slack. I don't know how long, what's the average time for deposits to come in after you get rent? Like they get paid rent.
Well, it depends on your agreement, but it should be within the same month. Right.
So, okay. I'm thinking that's supposed to be next week, but I'm learning. It could take a month. Okay.
Some of my property managers pay it on like the 15th or the 10th, because they're getting their rent at the start. And then some of them, it usually just, they'll pay it like 3 days left in the month. Right.
Okay. That's what I thought was weird.
I'm like, some months it'll show up in your bank account in the same month. And sometimes it shows up in the next month, which
that's what I'm noticing.
Messes stuff up.
So I've only got these rented out since January, like getting everything proper.
Yeah.
So January is when I'm starting to learn, and this is like my second, third, well, dating in here, but yeah. So now I'm just learning like the whole process. I'm doing everything through email, like when I communicate with these people, because I can't remember everything, obviously.
That's
so
good.
It's email. Yeah, I'm getting them to send. Exactly.
Remember, you can go back and find it, right?
Exactly. So yeah. I learned that from you because, you know, you show me your organization with all the folders and you know, I'm trying to get up to that level. I communicate with these guys maybe once a week, just get updates.
Perfect.
Trying to figure out where the funds are going and if they need to go upgrade. I'm not trying to be a slumlord or anything, so I'm taking care of the people. If they have any problems, I think I'm doing good.
Yeah,
but we'll find out. We'll find out later on.
A lot of properties.
Yeah, and then I have we have parcels of land. I don't know, but I've been hearing about it. The area called Lehigh Acres, Florida. That's a new. It's right beside Fort Myers.
Yeah, it's Cape Coral, Fort Myers. I'm with my research on Lehigh. That's where a lot of duplexes.
Oh, you know about it.
I know.
That's where I'm at. So that's where all I have about. Between me and my brother and my mom, we have about 8 parcels of land.
Oh, okay.
A couple of them are duplex lots. You know, I've had those probably for like 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And now that area is blowing up again. Phone calls like crazy. I got to structure everything so my name's off of everything. But they're calling me like texting calls and everything. Oh, but Lehigh Acres is where my mom's house is.
Yeah.
So I remember going there and like farmland and everything, but it's like Toronto, so or Durham or anywhere with the building. Like you drive, you're seeing building all the time.
Yeah,
a lot of construction. So that's gonna be something that I'm gonna try to focus on maybe
so
next
your
year.
Idea to sell the land or to build?
No, something? I want to try to get into building.
Yeah,
but let's see how that works out because I'm gonna have to be probably hands on a bit more. I've been doing a lot of flights, buddy. Like, you know, just jumping on planes. Like
we can do
planning.
It later. I have some builders down in that area too. Right?
That's what I need. Yeah, yep. So like my brother is down there. Like I can use him as a messenger and you know like a little pigeon.
Yeah.
You can take pictures and stuff and talk to them, but I'm going to be the one to have to deal with everything. But that one, that's going to be probably my next project. Well, after I deal with the Clewiston area.
Make sure you post some pictures about it. That's exciting. Always new construction always looks awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm looking at it. I'm like, there's certain things I probably would try to throw in there, like a bathroom by the front door. They don't like those things, but
they don't like those things?
By, they that's don't like, do bathrooms by the front thing? Door. It's not normal. It's, yeah, it's a Canadian thing, supposedly. They don't put bathrooms at the front door. That's one thing that I got to change on their plans. But I'm trying to get some duplexes. They sell pretty good, too. Like, maybe singles I'll yep. build and then sell them. The duplexes maybe I'll keep. I got a few of those. In Clewiston, we have a few lots, probably three or four. Those ones there, I'll probably just get some trailers on them. I'm going to try to get some DCR loans, see if I can do that. Might have to talk to you with that one. Florida's a different place, especially with the insurance.
Yeah. Insurance sucks in Florida right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm learning about that.
Properties and they suck.
They're crazy. It's insane.
Yeah.
So Florida's a special place. It's a place where you can make money, but they have a lot of little rules and everything that you got to watch out for.
Permits.
But I think that, and then once I get everything all done there, maybe this ended this year, or maybe hopefully I can do this year, but I'm trying to keep my sanity and not go too crazy with everything. I'm going to try to see if I can do the build. I'll have to get some resources from you. It's good. Like I'm happy that I have you. You don't realize it. When I message you sometimes, I'm like, hey, what about this? Like, what would you do with this? You know, just what would you do with that? What would you do? It's good to have you as a resource. Like it's
no problem.
That course, like even all the stuff that we did, I think I was like round one on your course. But
maybe yeah, you're an early adapter of the course.
Yeah,
there's a lot of new stuff. I'll have to send you some of the newer stuff.
Exactly. So like, but even that, the beginning one, like that was perfect. Like there's a lot of things in there, like how to handle certain situations.
Yeah.
Upgrades and like keeping everything streamlined. Yeah. I definitely took that in. Like once I got dumped on with all this stuff here, like it's been pretty good.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's Hirsch. Yeah. Go ahead.
Along. We should probably, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how do they track you down if they had some questions or wanted just to pick your brain? You know what?
When we booked this meeting here, I thought about that. You're going to ask me that question. And there is no way to get a hold of me.
That is fine too, right? No, like honestly, like it does eat up a ton of your time with mm-hmm. answering these calls and emails and everything else. So totally acceptable. I get it. You want to spend your time on your business, not...
Well, I will eventually. I just never thought of doing it properly. You know?
If you change your mind, send me a message. I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. And if anything, we'll have another one. I'll give you an update, yearly update or something.
No, that's awesome. On. Well, we're going to be talking all the time anyway.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do another show or something. But yeah, it was great. Great to just tell somebody what's going on. Nobody knows what I'm doing right now. It's pretty pretty cool. Like doing everything all undercover here. But just telling somebody like all the achievements and everything is pretty cool.
It's impressive. It's impressive in like a short period of time to turn that much stuff around.
Yes. So hopefully I'll be able to, you know, join you on some of those trips that you're doing all the time. And
yeah. Yeah. I want to do another trip to Florida is what we're thinking about. But
No, but it's definitely just give you your audience my heads up. Like your program definitely is useful. Like I've got dumped into it and it wasn't like any other family or anybody else. Like if they got dumped into a situation like that.
Yeah.
Without somebody guiding them and having given the information, I probably would have died. I would have been overwhelmed. Like it was too crazy, but definitely it was great. And then Canada, I'm just keeping my one property. I'm not ever buying again in Canada. That's unless we turn into Florida.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right.
Anyway, Hirsch, thank you for coming on the show. Awesome story. I think there's a lot of takeaways, I think it's a lot of it is people, you can do anything. I think that's the takeaway from this is you're going to see a lot of obstacles if you want to make some money. And that's where, if you buy, you know, the more obstacles you solve, the more money you should be able to make. And it shows that you can do this, you know, it, you know, it's a good story. It's motivational to say, I can do this.
It is. It is. Like, it's just got thrown on me. I've had properties before, but you can do it. Like, it's stressful at first, but nothing, you don't get anything without any stress, right? That's the way it is.
Yep. Risk and reward.
Exactly. Risk and reward. Exactly. That's what it is. But it's awesome. Yeah. We'll keep in touch and I'll keep everybody updated.
That was a nice video. Bye.